The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3,
Sonny Wilson here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Magical Engineer Frank's Radio. I'm ready. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network and WWCR. We are going to be talking about the first part of the show, Inside the Gene Edit. What could that be? Well, we're going to talk about that, and we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short. Our devotional puts us in Ephesians, and it's Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Oh, yeah, that's the only person you bow to. Not your, you know, karate teacher, Sabinin Kunye, none of that stuff. He's the only one you bow to. That's it. End of story right there. So if you don't know about some of these infinite wisdoms that the Bible has to offer you, I encourage you to read it, seek the Lord's face, and mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Hey, Frank, okay, first up in the quacker, FDA warns consumers to throw away some cheap cinnamon products because they're contaminated with lead. Yeah, the FDA sent out a new consumer alert. Lead levels recently detected in the ground cinnamon products found at American Dollar stores and other supermarkets, urging suppliers to recall the tainted products under a voluntary basis. The lead levels are, in fact, dangerous for children's development, and there is currently no explanation for why these brands of cinnamon have such high levels of lead that can damage the brain. Let's see. These lead levels significant across multiple cinnamon brands, including La Fiesta brand, obviously sold at La Superior and Super Mercados stores. Markham brand sold at Save a Lot stores. The MK brand sold at SF supermarkets. The Swad brand sold at Patel Brothers. L. Shilar brand sold at La Joya Merlace stores, and the Supreme Tradition brand sold at the Dollar Tree and Family Dollar stores. They said the lead levels were 2.03 to 3.4 parts per million, enough to impair brain function if you used it for any length of time. What did it say, Frank? In the water, lead pipes, yeah. Well, yeah. You can get lead that way, too. All right, last but not least in the quack report, some doctors are now charging patients for the time it takes them to do paperwork. That's right. Patients in the United States are paying more because doctors are now claiming that they are struggling to deal with the increasing demands of administrative tasks, which are taking more time and resources away from patient care. Doctors are arguing that handling more of these office tasks is hurting their bottom line. Oh, man, Frank. When I worked for a neurologist, man, if those guys were still in business today, they're all retired. But if they were still in business today, they didn't do any paperwork. They didn't fill out insurance forms. They didn't fill out, you know, any forms with regard to workers' comp or any of that stuff. They always gave it to the secretary. Okay, so medical experts are reporting that doctors are now charging for certain services like answering patient emails, asking for medical advice, or filling out extra paperwork to compensate for their time and make up the cost lost in their in-person visit. So Robert Pearl, he's with Stanford University, he's a professor there. He's also the former CEO of the Permanente Medical Group, and he explained that doctors usually charge concierge fees for the privilege of accessing medical care in this manner. And he added that this practice is becoming more common as patients lean toward avoiding office appointments due to concerns over high out-of-pocket costs. Researchers at professional services from PwC are estimating that healthcare costs will increase by 7% this year, much higher than the medical cost trends of the past 2 years. And according to the benefits consultants of Mercer, Aon, and Willis Tower Watson, their employers and their healthcare costs could increase by an average of 5.5% to 8.5% in this year alone due to factors like medical inflation and a wider availability of high-priced gene therapies. And we're going to talk about that today. Unbelievable. Concierge services. Yep. Frank says he's real crying for them. Patients need to start charging for every minute the doctor makes them wait past their appointment time. Well, hey, if you think about it, the medical profession and the legal profession are two areas where you can't get a refund. If you're not completely satisfied, just forget it. And that wraps the Quack Report. That's all, folks. Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about inside the gene edit for a few minutes here, because a lot of recent reports are stating that physicians can edit a person's genes from within the body. There seems to be no limits regarding the research areas in science. Experimentation today is happening, and with little to no oversight and definitely no legal ramifications. So all the policy organizations, when they come up with their policies to try to control gene editing, well, they don't really have any legal bite to them. Therefore, we see rogue clinics and offshore research where the researchers do what they want. So ethically, it is wrong, and I believe dangerous for the future of humanity, but ethics and a conscience, well, it's really not that important in many sectors of society today. Additionally, gene editing is a Nobel Prize technology, and we are naive to think it won't be used. So science holds the position that laws would hinder the development aspects of science. And in addition, the new push to abolish informed consent is also an alarming development within science and medicine. Here is a quote from the World Health Organization. They say, there is a need to develop inclusive genome editing innovations that take note of the diversity of the human population and human experience, end of quote. Yeah. Also, this is the National Library of Medicine, Center for Biotechnology. They said this June 2021, they said, gene therapy is one of the most revolutionary medical technologies developed. Gene editing is a biomedical treatment method based on changing human genetic material. Yeah, human genetic material being altered. Well, let's look at this World Health Organization and their input on this gene editing sector. Yep, the WHO is at the forefront of gene edits. they boast that editing genes will assist mankind in resolving some of the most difficult medical diseases. Resolve, cure, that's what they're saying. So editing is done and may be passed on to future generations, and it's still being debated by health officials, but eventually I see this ethical matter failing and falling by the wayside. Here is a quote from the WHO. They say, genome editing is a method for making specific changes to the DNA of a cell or an organism. It can be used to add, remove, or alter DNA in the genome. Human genome editing technologies can be used on somatic cells, which is your non-inheritable cells, germline cells, which are your reproductive cells, and also your reproductive cells. So the non and the reproductive cells. So there's a germline and a germane cell line. So, yeah, I mean, you would pass that on if it was affecting your reproductive area. They go on to say, inheritable human genome editing refers to editing of a nuclear DNA in a way that can be inheritable across generations. So inheritable human genome editing is the subject of intense debate over its possible consequences for offspring and for society in general. And it may pose greater safety and ethical issues than other forms of genome editing. Well, it is a debate. I mean, some people are not for it. Frank said it's simply suicide to enter a hospital, he says, but at least they have people there to assist you with all of that. Assisted suicide, you mean? Thank you, Frank. Your input's always enlightening. All right, we're going to talk about Baylor's research. This is January 2024. Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas, talks about gene switches. Remember we were talking about switches? And where doctors, they say, can turn genes on and off with protein in gene therapy. Remember I told you proteins are the switches. So the challenge is for science to get the protein switch just right, as too much protein can be toxic and too little has really no effect. And they report new technology will help with this regulation. And the research was published in the January 2024 Journal of Nature Biotechnology. Here's a quote from Baylor. They said, we are using technology to regulate gene expression, offering a solution to fill in the gaps in gene therapy applications. Fill in the gaps. So scientific research has provided several gene-regulating systems, but the FDA has really not approved of any of them for clinical use. And clinical use would be in a, you know, clinical setting. That would be, you know, when you go see your doctor. So testing gene expression editing on lab animals is really not the same as on humans at the clinic. And the previous attempts used foreign proteins. And guess what? The human body's immune system was triggered and it attacked the protein. That's not going to work. So in their research, they instead used small drug molecules that would interact the way that they want it to with the cell RNA and not trigger the immune system and stay within the FDA's approved drug dose limit. So this allows the researchers to control protein's production and control the RNA. Control the gene expression, how your cells function. So how does this editing work? Well, remember the function of RNA? It is to create proteins through transmission. So RNA carries genetic information that is translated and necessary for cellular processes. They all are basically using drugs in their gene editing at this point. So the gene therapy drugs mainly include what they call plasmid DNA, which can be a drug made from a bacteria or a virus. So most of the gene editing drugs are viruses. Almost all of them are they're using. And some of the viruses they're using are called retroviruses, which AIDS virus is, and STDs are found in the retrovirus family. Also, adenoviruses known to cause respiratory illnesses, and also pink eye, they're using those, as well as an enterovirus, which is an immune deficiency virus like AIDS. So, interesting that that's being used in your gene editing. So they engineer into the RNA this poly-A signal, and the genes see it as a stop sign. So when the cell detects this poly-A signal in the RNA, and the mechanism in the cell acts kind of like a cut or an edit point, ending the DNA. Therefore, no protein is made, and it's therefore is switched off. So if they want to switch the protein production back on, they use a different drug like tetracycline through drug therapy genes, although the drug therapy genes can be edited in this way. So tetracycline, usually used for skin inflammation issues like acne, but if you use tetracycline, it'll turn your teeth gray, and you can't reverse that. Bayer College of Medicine says this: imagine a situation where the physician can control the production of the therapeutic protein. Yeah, just imagine. Imagine that. So what could go wrong? That's where my brain goes. Using the drugs to edit genes have produced some challenges, and here they are. Challenges in delivering the drugs to the exact working site to avoid poor tissue targets. Also, the drugs quickly degrade and don't work. Also, making sure the immune system doesn't get triggered. Also, the gene editing drugs interact with other ingredients in the drug serums. Not good. And also efficiency issues. According to National Library of Medicine, they said there is the possibility of generating escape mutants in a significant consideration when using gene editing viruses. Generating escape mutants. And then this is from Roberto Chiré, medical doctor, lead researcher at Boston Children's Hospital. He said this July 2022, he said, they found that gene editing increases the chance of large rearrangements of DNA. While this was uncommon, it occurs up to 5 to 6% of the time in their research, in their experimental model. He says such rearrangements can theoretically trigger cancer. He says when there are breaks created in the DNA and aren't repaired, mismatched ends of DNA can join, leading to these rearrangements. Mutated cancer. Unbelievable. What'd you say, Frank? Escape mutants is always a good thing, he says. Right, okay. Not in your body, not in your genetic code. Okay, so this is National Library of Medicine. They say this: given our incomplete knowledge about the long-term effects of gene editing on health equity and the human body, researchers and investors must carefully consider the ethical and real-world implications of allowing these technologies to be implemented at scale in public health and medicine. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to consider all these angles, you know, and I think people are blinded by medical accolades and grant money and money in general. So basically, let's consider this man's medicine, because we have come a long way since 1940. So prior to 1940, our medical physicians graduated from natural healing schools where they studied nutrition and medicinal plants. After 1940, we left the natural healing sector and the AMA took over the medical practices. So petrochemical therapies were promoted and used instead of the nutrition and the natural therapies. So the world essentially adopted a form of man's medicine as opposed to what people for thousands of years used for wellness. So now medicine is editing the very makeup of a person, and not without risk. And I personally would not accept those risks, banking on science offering full disclosure. Medical Science offers no refunds to any of their therapies. And you're left holding the bag if it goes wrong. All right, let's look at the plant-based wellness, because the human race was designed to be well on organic foods and medicinal plants. So the highest authority, that's God, he promises that herbs are for the service of man and the healing of the nations. No man-made slogan or ad can even top that. So there is a divine promise that herbs help the body to regenerate and heal. Now, if you would like to learn more on how to tap into the healing power of herbs, I would call Apothecary Herbs, ask for their free catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and also international, if you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Again, they have the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And if you want to take the power back, that's one way to do it. Now, you can celebrate spring with them. They have 20% off on orders of $65 or more with immune-boosting herbs, their detox herbs, metabolic strengthening herbs, their kits, if you want to grab some kits, the pandemic kits and heart attack packs and things. You want to use coupon code SPRING24, but you want to hurry. The sale does end on March 24th, and restrictions apply. So spring, right here. I'm so excited about spring, Frank. I'm ready to warm up. I don't like cold weather. I'm a beach babe at heart. I'm sorry, I don't like cold weather. No. I used to live in the upper northeast. No. Not going there. It's too cold. So, all right. So we're going to be talking about some biosafety levels and Ebola for a little bit. We're going to probably be interrupted with the bottom of the hour break on this topic, but we're going to cover this. People are kind of concerned about, you know, a lot of things these days, including, you know, plagues, basically, or pandemics. So most people are kind of sick about, you know, hearing about all this stuff. But if you notice, we'll present, I guess, the information and then a solution, something to consider, something to research. So what helps remove some of the trepidation that regards all these dangerous pathogens we hear about? You know, what helps us, you know, have some confidence and not feel anxious and depressed? Well, we've got solutions. God's given them to us. So let's say the Ebola threat is a level 4 pathogen threat. And the threat definition of level 3 is the disease is transmitted by respiratory route. Level 4 is a disease that's usually transmitted by aerosol or airborne delivery. It's most more rare, and therefore it's going to be a higher risk, because there is typically, it's hard to treat. You know, they don't have enough treatments for that. Now, the CDC, their special pathogens branch, they specifically work with hemorrhagic type fevers like Ebola, and they rank Ebola as a level 4 biosafety threat. So their job is to study and chart the highly infectious viruses and diseases out there, and they're responsible for trying to prevent or control an outbreak of things like Ebola or hemorrhagic fevers. Now, governments are required to keep their people safe. That's what they're there for. And if that means, you know, suspending air flights and boats coming in and out, well, that's pretty much what they do. So if your government's doing that, they suspect something is being transported. So what little inconvenience there may be there, nothing's compared to, you know, sidestepping a massive pandemic. So U.S. governments could be in violation of a lot of safety protocols and people's rights. But, you know, when it comes to pandemic threats, you know how it goes. So let's look at the viruses a minute. They that cause hemorrhagic fevers. They're pretty distinct. They cause a lot of destruction on several levels of the body. So what this means is there isn't one system that can fail. It's a multiple type of systems that can fail. So when you look at Ebola strains, these viruses like to attack vascular systems first. So the virus will attempt to take out the system that transports your blood, which supports your organs and your lungs and your brain and your immune system. So if the viruses are successful in disrupting vascular function, then it moves to weaponizing the blood itself and disabling your clotting mechanism. So you hemorrhage. It's a hemorrhagic fever, so you start to bleed. So it's pretty ruthless, really. All right, so what are the symptoms? Well, over a million Americans basically are searching for answers regarding Ebola on, let's say, the CDC's website. So what Americans are reading is that there are no known treatments. So victims of Ebola will show symptoms that could be misdiagnosed as first being the flu. And this could cause an overreaction when the person has symptoms of, let's say, a fever, fatigue, dizziness, muscle aches, loss of strength, and so forth. So people with the flu could find themselves quarantined as having Ebola, if there's an outbreak of Ebola. And then when they're quarantined, they could also contract the disease. So by the time medical staff figure all this out through tests and remove the person, they probably have already contracted Ebola. We have some solutions here. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. All right, we're back, and we're talking about biosafety levels of pathogens like Ebola. And there's some research that Dr. Green Metarinfo had done on the research on finding some treatments for Ebola using natural sources. So I think anyone would be willing to try anything when a virus inflicts a 83% mortality rate. So there are 5 Ebola viruses science knows about, and one of them can infect humans. So this is considered a zoonotic disease originating in animals, monkeys, and fruit bats. And according to Green, the investigative report suggested that the Ebola virus is transmissible through the air without direct contact. And in 2012, pigs and monkeys were placed in separate cages, avoiding direct contact. And according to lead researcher Dr. Gary Kobringer of the National Microbiology Laboratory, a public health agency in Canada, he said the animals were infected by the disease through large droplets suspended in the air. And this would explain why people are becoming infected even with protective gear, thinking they're safe from a direct contact. Well, here's what Dr. Kobringer says. What we suspect is happening is large droplets. They can stay in the air, but not long, and they don't go far, but they can be absorbed in the airway, and this is how the infection starts. And this is what we think because we saw a lot of evidence in the lungs of the non-human primates that the virus got in through the airway. So the thought of, you know, airborne transmission of Ebola is pretty frightening, he says. Well, I agree, but the microbiologist is there. They think that the droplets don't travel far, but that would depend on your environment. So if a burst of air from an air conditioning vent can push water or blood droplets, it could certainly transport viral droplets. So think of a confined area with forced circulation of air, such as, let's say, your airplane or your bus or your subway. So it would also appear that the CDC and the WHO and other top government agencies, they know that Ebola is transmitted by air, and they knew this as early as 2012 when the BBC did a report on the research from the Canadian scientists. So they knew, and with this virus, it kills 50 to 90% of the victims. Ask why would a government hide that truth and not disclose it or even close the borders to risk massive infection? Well, the only answer would be negligence or even genocide. So time is going to tell on any of these things shaken out. But Ebola causes cell frailty. So Ebola virus is different from other types of viruses. It doesn't enter the host cell and replicate in it. This disease causes a frailty in the cell wall and in the cell capillaries. So the cells lose their integrity when they lose vitamin C, and then they collapse and they hemorrhage as a result. So Ebola goes on to attack the blood cell platelets, which are responsible for stopping hemorrhaging and by clotting. So old wounds or scars have the capability of severe capillary frailty and can start to bleed. So with Ebola, the depletion of your vitamin C happens so rapidly that it produces what doctors call an advanced state of scurvy in a matter of days instead of weeks. So with hemorrhagic fevers like scurvy and Ebola, they are diseases which attack the life source, your blood system. So the blood delivers antibodies to fight infection, and if the cells can't hold their shape, there is massive bleeding, no clotting, and the antibodies really can't be effective at fighting the virus because they're not being transported via the blood system. And diseases such as these are more deadly in regions with malnourished populations. All right, so in 2012, the Journal of Archives of Virology printed some research regarding the use of genistein compounds that inhibit the Ebola virus. The research was done at the University of Texas in their medical branch area. They were investigating these natural inhibitors found in natural plant compounds. And the pharmaceutical industry makes tryptophan, which is an inhibitor to fight ovarian cancer, from genistein. And if you will find natural genistein isoflavonoids in legumes, fava beans, soy, non-fermented types, coffee, and kudzu roots. So this may have been a treatment that Americans received after returning from Africa and were able to recover. Research shows that the isoflavones are also excellent for heart disease and cancer issues. So let's look at some herbs with genistein in them, these isoflavones. Genistein is technically a phytoestrogen of the isoflavone category, and it was first discovered in 1899 from a plant called Dreyer's broom. Genistein was also chemically synthesized in 1928. The isoflavones are a bitter compound in herbs, and it's important that they are accompanied with an aromatic compound like oils or fatty acids, saponins or alkaloids. So this will give the isoflavones more power within the body, and your herbs will be naturally containing these nutrients. And herbs contain genistein flavonoids are going to be red clover, alfalfa, American ginseng, Dreyer's broom, or Dreyer's greenwood, it's another word for it, and gentian root. Okay, so you've got some tools. God's given us tools to fight these hemorrhagic stuff out there. So it wouldn't hurt to have some of these solutions on hand to combat such a virus that medical science says can't be cured. So if you see a documentary on PBS filmed, it was in West Africa, and you see the WHO physicians are there. They're not giving the patients that they're brought in with Ebola anything except water and a few drugs, if you ever watch that documentary. The only drugs they gave them was to help them to stop vomiting and prevent dehydration. So they know all about this virus and how many proteins it has and how it enters your cells and how it spreads and how it depletes victims of nutrition like vitamin C, and they know that genistein isoflavones inhibit the virus, yet they don't give any nutrition support to the Ebola victims, especially in Africa and possibly in the United States. I know that the powerful immune system support herbs are very good, and their cleansing herbs are very good. You got lots of high vitamin A and high vitamin C, lots of minerals and iron, and help the blood system, magnesium, niacin, selenium, silicon, zinc. Your herbs are packed full of this stuff. That's why they're bitter, okay? That's why they taste like that. So you need a lot of vitamin and mineral uptake for the cells to protect the cells and keep them from collapsing and disabling your immune system. So if you're interested in the pandemic kit at Apothecary Herbs, definitely pick one of those up. They do have gentian root there, and you will find some alfalfa. An ingredient in their vitamin mix called the body food mix. They do have red clover in their cardio formula. And they do have several ginsengs there. So you have tools to choose from, several of them. And it would behoove you to maybe have some on hand, because that's what I'm taking. I'm not taking any vaccines or anything. If there's an Ebola outbreak, that's what I'm taking is the herbs. All right, how much time we have, Frank? Got a little time. We do. I don't think we have enough time to talk about. Oh, maybe we do. Let's try it. We're going to talk about science using eggshells in a bone surgery. That's right. Came across this research, University of Massachusetts. They're using eggshells to heal broken bones. And I kind of wondered about this and the extent of medical science and what they'll go to create a new surgical therapy when they already have the answers for growing healthy bone. Well, they should anyway. However, non-invasive procedures really aren't a big profit engines for our modern medicine, as you know. So they like to recreate and improve on the human body, and they create all these complex therapies, expensive ones too. So we're going to check out what they're doing and offer you a natural, simple solution. So global statistics are showing 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men over 50, they say, will have osteoporosis and suffer a bone fracture. Now, according to the medical research, the United States has more than 6 million fracture injuries occur per year. And no doubt most patients, when they're presented with crushed eggshells to heal their bones faster, will be wondering about modern medicine. So here's the research. According to research, University of Massachusetts, the use of eggshells, they say, enhance the growth of new bones to strengthen them. So this particular research aimed at the solution for patients that suffer from bone disease, cancer, standard injury, traumatic injury, like from the military, so forth, and aging. So how does the process work? Well, eggshell bone therapy, how does this work? Well, according to Professor Golden Campsey Anall, he's a lead scientist on the research, they take eggshells, they crush them up, and insert them into a hydrogel mixture. And from there, they create a framework with grafts to grow bone in the lab. Then they take the patient's bone cells and add them to the framework substance to cultivate the cells in an incubator. And then they collect the new bone substance and implant that back into the patient. The research was published in the June 2019 Journal of Biomaterial Science, and most people would speculate that eggshells were selected due to the calcium carbonate they contain. And this would be an accurate guess. And the scientists say the eggshells help to create harder, stronger bone implants. And the process also uses cells from the patient to avoid bone graft rejection by the immune system. So broken bones normally can take 8 weeks or longer to heal. Well, Native American Indians figured out a way to make bones heal in half that time. So according to Professor Campsey and all, this eggshell process can be used to produce cartilage, teeth, tendons. This therapy, no doubt, will make the medical industry millions. Here is a quote from the University of Massachusetts. This is the first study that uses eggshell particles in a hydrogel matrix for bone repair, and we already filed a patent for it, and our process can be adopted to use in many significant ways. So how much does this cost, right? lot going on. So really, there weren't really any estimates that were presented on the cost of eggshell bone grafts. However, one of my previous reports on the injected bone steroid drugs was really not cheap. The cost of that treatment is influenced by the drug combinations, and the cost was like over $6,000. And I predict that the eggshell bone grafts will be even more expensive than the steroid bone injection drugs. So patients will most likely accept the cost, as these treatments are advertised to heal the bone 60% faster. Well, it normally takes 1 to 2 weeks for the body to reestablish the blood vessels to stabilize an area of a break. Natural healing of the broken bone takes another 8 weeks. Therefore, medicine is saying that their treatments can get patients back to normal weight-bearing activity within 3.2 weeks. And I would not bet on that claim. No, no, no. You have to give the bone 1 or 2 weeks to repair after the blood vessels have been reinstated. So I don't think you can skip that process, healing a break like that. So having a broken bone, you know, is painful if you had one. Medical science states that typical time for the body to heal a broken bone is 6 to 12 weeks, but the length of time depends on the extent of the injury. So it can take 2 to 3 weeks for the upper body fracture and 4 weeks for a lower body fracture. It can take 3 to 6 months before the bone is really adequately strong enough. Bones heal faster in children than adults. And the Egyptians were the first physicians to document how to reset a bone and use plant resin and a cloth similar to plaster of Paris to make a cast. And reports go back to the ancient times that stated a lot of nutrition is very important for bones to heal. Literature on the use of herbs to speed up bone repair is also in print. So let's talk about successful fast bone repair with no drugs. No grass, no eggshells. What do you say? Okay. The ancient ancestors had a basic approach to bone repair that is still used today in many parts of the world. Here's their approach. You immobilize and reset the break. You reduce inflammation to restore blood flow using herbs. Of course, they did that. They reduce pain with herbs. They use antibacterial herbs for compound fractures, and they use immune support herbs for any infection, and herbs also for bone strength, okay? So in many instances, the ancestors would use topical and internal herb applications. For instance, herb poultices to help stop bleeding, cleanse the wound, and reduce bacteria infection were also applied. And in 1932, an Indian scientist, Yashraji Chopra, he tested one bone healing herb on a dog and found the herbs did heal the break faster, relieving pain due to an analgesic effect, and also prevented any delayed effect on bone repair when other drugs such as cortisone was used. Then he reported his findings. He said this: herbs offered antioxidants, antimicrobial and antibacterial effects in the bone healing activity. The herbs accelerated healing with osteopotent chemical markers, and the herbs seem to supply more raw material for the repair and encourage rapid utilization of the raw materials. And it is my understanding that certain herbs provide a bone joining benefit. Ah. Well, the U.S. National Library of Medicine said this in January 2017. They said all parts of plants possess medicinal properties. The roots, the stems, are most useful for healing of bone fractures. These plants were used in folk medicine in the treatment of bone fractures, and early settlers were expert bone setters, and length of treatment varied between 3 to 6 weeks. All right, so let's look at the natural way, because I've talked about how we can have healthy, strong bones without the threat and expense of medical procedures. Think about the animals that are used to offer humans the hope of strong bones. For instance, the cow. People ate a lot of cow bone products in their supplements. Think about the cow though. The cow eats grass. He eats plants. He has really big, strong bones. So the chickens, which produce the calcium-rich eggs, what do they eat? They eat grain, they eat plants, and they eat bugs. So how can we achieve stronger and healthier bones? Well, here are some of the things to consider. One of the culprits I've already told you about is that refined sugar displaces the phosphorus in your body, preventing proper absorption of calcium and depleting calcium from your bones. And the other culprit is dairy, cow's milk, causing an alkaline environment, which also prevents proper absorption of calcium. Therefore, you do not get adequate calcium from milk, cheese, yogurt, or ice cream. You got to have boron and magnesium with calcium for the uptake and absorption. You don't get that in your cow's milk. Also, your diet, if it's missing trace minerals, these macro minerals are needed if you want to utilize calcium. So there is really no benefit if your body absorbs calcium and then can't put it in the right area. So you're going to need boron and magnesium, vitamin D. You can get that from sun, and silica. And silica is found in the earth, and it's in a lot of plant foods. Yeah. So giving strength and firmness to body tissues, your bones, cartilage, all your connective tissues, arteries, and your skin. So instead of going under the knife, maybe use your knife to eat your vegetables, your plants. So avoid this, and you can speed up bone repair. I prefer to skip the steroid treatments to speed the healing of bones. There are things that we should avoid in order for bones to heal faster and naturally, and that is don't smoke. It alters blood flow to the bone. Don't drink. Alcohol contributes to inflammation, and also avoid the sugar. It makes bones weaker. So understanding your bone repair is going to be really important. Science is reporting that there are several cell bones involved in repair work. You have the precursor cells called the peristernum cells. Then you have the osteoblast cells, the chronoblast cells, and the bone marrow. So these are all these cells that work together to help repair bones. So these cells organize themselves in three phases of healing. Reactive phases, they include reducing inflammation and using a granular material. It takes about a week. The reparative phase, where your cartilage and your laminar bones takes repair and takes 4 weeks. And then your remodeling phase, the remodel of the original bone, takes about 5 more weeks. Here is a quote from this is U.S. National Library of Medicine, January 2017. And it was published in the National Journal of Malfacto Surgery. They said, in the literature, herbs are described speeding up bone formation without any side effects and relatively low cost. The knowledge of the medicinal value of plants and other natural substances and their use goes way back to the earliest settlers. End of quote. Yeah, so from ancient times to our modern times, I mean, what did our ancestors knew stuff? So the ancient records, when using herbs to speed bone repair, it heals bone within 3 to 6 weeks without the risk of toxic side effects. So using your herbs will also be far less expensive, usually under $300. So with regard to bone density, when using your herbs, it's also very efficient, and it can also reverse the damage from osteoporosis within about 4 months. So the American Society for Bone and Mineral Research published a report in the Journal of Basic Microbiology listing herbs often used by Europeans to heal bones quickly, and comfrey root was listed, as well as horsetail, arnica, and some others. They said this, plants used for remedies for disease and to heal bones are not harmful or toxic. We need deeper research. We cannot simply discard this ancient research. These herbs have helped the human race to survive on Earth for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So getting the right herbs, getting calcium to the system, that's going to be important. I like to use the horsetail, the oat straw, the comfrey root, and the lobelia herb, and they're all included in a liquid formula called calcium formula. So if you want to heal bones, tissues, ligaments, all these things, this is going to provide that mineral nutrition. And by the way, the Native American Indians used the comfrey root. They called it bone knit. Yeah, they called it bone knit because it had that ability to, as Dr. Copra said, bone joining benefit. So it helped dovetail the and remodel the bone material, and it just made a really strong repair. In the Indians were very observant. They looked at what animals would eat if they were sick or had a broken bone, and they watched them. And then they decided to adopt that stuff. And guess what? It worked. Some of the Native American Indians, according to one of my professors when I was in herb school, that they would go visit the reservations a lot and talk to the medicine men there. They said that even if you had a break that healed improperly, what they would do is take comfrey root and make a kind of like an application. They would like spread it out on a fiber cloth, and then they would wrap that area with it and let it sit there and let it soak into the skin. And they said it would refix the bad break. Unbelievable, right? I would try it. I mean, less pain. And I mean, what do you got to lose, really? So if you're looking for these herbs for bones, it's called calcium formula. That's what it is. And you'll find it at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because I am a believer. God didn't expect us to need a pharmaceutical industry to be well on this planet. He said herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. That's what he expects us to use to be well. And God can't lie. See? Yeah. So if God can't, you can take those words in the scripture, because they don't come back void. Yep. So I've used these herbs to heal pets when they had injuries, soft tissue injuries, venomous bites, you know, broken bones. Definitely works very well. Astonish your vet. Just totally blow their mind. I've seen it over and over again. And, you know, I kind of chuckle at it. But then when you offer this information, this treasure trove of knowledge to the vets, they turn it down. Unbelievable stuff. I'm out of time, but don't forget the spring sale is underway at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs will offer you 20% off orders of $65 or more. Use coupon code SPRING24 on the website, over the phone, or on your order form. But definitely get that order in by the 24th. Of March. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.